Boy, we got a special show for you this evening. We got Tracy in the house from Cicada, and we're talking about seeds, different kind of seeds, and all other sort of things gardening. Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Hey, I'm Greg. And we got a special guest in the house. Tracy with Cicada is here with us. She's been here with us before. Dang, I'm good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's
been a minute.
Yeah. For y'all don't know, Cicada Seed Company is a large
vegetable and flower seed.
Yes, all over the
breeder
world.
Breeder and producer.
Yep. And we do a lot of business with these guys. They're really good for us. And we like to talk shop.
Okay. Yep. Let's do it.
So what you got, what you gonna plant this year? This gonna be unusual in your garden.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Sprung this one on. Yeah.
Well, this isn't unusual, but I'm really big into lettuces right now because we have a bunch of new lettuces and we're trying out all kinds of new things, like ones that you just like cut once and it all falls apart into your salad, and pretty color. I just think they're so pretty. And they all taste different, and lettuce is expensive.
Are you into the red lettuces?
I'm into the red lettuces.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, I'm trialing one out too. So yeah, I'm crazy about those red. I got a red romaine that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So.
And okra.
And okra.
You know, now that I'm back down south.
Gotta have okra.
Gotta have okra.
I got my okra growing in the greenhouse. I'm not transplanting yet. Folks, just, if you're in the south, it's a little bit too early to direct seed your okra. We were just talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. Probably about the end of the month, 1st of May, direct seed that okra. I think it's a little early yet. Cool soils. Cool. Man, okra does not
like
it.
Yeah, it's gotta have it warm. It's gotta have it hot, really. Mm-hmm.
We get people every year that plant it too soon. They say, my okra seed didn't germinate well. You planted it in too cool of a soil.
Yep.
Now, a little trick there. If you want okra early on, grow the transplants in the greenhouse and transplant it. And when it gets warms up, then you can direct seed it.
Yeah.
Get you about a 2 to 3 week head start on if you grow it in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
And we all love to brag about how early we have okra.
Be patient. Yep. And hot peppers, that's the other thing I'm going to do a lot of.
Oh, really?
I'm going to try a lot of different hot peppers.
You like the hot peppers?
We're doing crazy. I don't. My husband does. So, but I like to grow anything new and different and crazy. So.
Yeah, I tell people, I said, you guys try something, at least one thing new of you that you've never grown before.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what my new thing for this year is?
What is it?
African drum gourd.
Oh, what does that one look like?
It's a big gourd that they make drums out
of. I could do that.
And you take the leather and put over it, and you make your drum and you play the drum.
Are you selling this?
I might give you one. No, I'm making it for myself because I'm going to get out there late in the afternoon or the shade tree.
Not Tracy.
No. Underneath the tree, late in the afternoon, I'll play drums. You see?
You can throw me one of those seeds and I'll try that one too.
Yeah. Well, that's my crazy thing that I'm growing this year. But I always recommend, I said, you got to grow something crazy out of ordinary. A lot of people's growing glass gem corn this year that they've never grown before.
Oh, I've never grown that.
Yes, an ornamental corn.
Okay.
It's different colors.
Okay. Yeah. I grew Roselle for the first time last year after learning about it from you.
Yep. Yeah. How'd you do?
Good. Good. Yeah. So I grew it in our backyard, but it's warm. I'm in the mountains, but it's warm back there.
It's challenging for you.
Yeah, but it did good. It did good. We had a good season last year.
Yeah, so. Roselle's become one of our favorite things to grow.
Yeah.
Cool. Tea, jellies, wine, all kinds of things. So we're going to be talking about seeds for a little bit.
Okay.
We may switch up, move around, but you know, we sell a lot of pelleted tomato seeds.
Yes.
And if you've never bought seeds from us before, some of our better, more pricier varieties, but they are better, are pelleted. And the reason they're pelleted is because they're easier to handle. So if you've ever tried to plant raw tomato seeds, they are tough.
Yeah.
But these pelleted makes it real easy, but you have to pay a little bit of a premium for the pelleted part. But it's worth it, I promise you. And then also, we have something done to some of the seeds that we sell, especially the tomato seeds that are called primed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a minute. Explain to everybody what this terminology means and what it does.
Okay, so primed, I just sort of think of as sort of just nudging the seed to start to wake it up. So it's tired, it's sleepy, it doesn't want to get started. So you put it through this priming process and it primes it for germination. So it makes it easier, faster to germinate.
Mm-hmm.
With that, you've already, that process starts the growing process. So you've got to be sure if you're going to use a prime seed, you're going to use it right then that season and be done with it, because otherwise you're going to have a seed that's already started to wake up.
It doesn't hold its germ well.
It does not hold if you use it later. Right. So it's a good jump start and it's a good way to have better success, but mm-hmm. It starts the process and you can't pull it back, so you got to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about pelleting?
And then pelleting, like you mentioned, one of the main advantages is ease of handling, mm-hmm. right? So, we talk about the things that are typically harder to do are like, carrots, lettuce. Lettuce is all, because it's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tiny or irregularly shaped seeds that you often see pelleted, because pelleting, you throw it into this inert clay-like material, right? And it's going to coat and coat and coat it until it creates this perfect ball. So you've got these perfectly round beads now.
And it's normally white or either gray-like color.
Yeah.
So the varieties that you would see that would be pelleted, let's go with pelleted first, would be, like you said, carrots.
Lettuce. Tomatoes.
Celery. Peppers. I don't see a lot of pelleted peppers.
Yeah.
There are some?
Well, for bigger growers, right?
Okay. So. And then tomatoes, which is our big thing.
Yeah.
Now, the varieties that we have that are pelleted, help me here, is Halcinator, Red Snapper, Shelby.
Bella Rosa.
And is Taki.
Roaster.
Taki? No. Uh-uh. Maybe that's it. So there's a few varieties, and we normally say on the product page if they're pelleted.
Yeah.
Now, the ones that we have that are only primed is going to be the tomato varieties.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Red Snapper,
Halcinator.
Yeah. Really just like four.
Yeah. Is Bella Rosa primed?
Bella Rosa can be primed.
And Shelby?
Yeah.
Shelby, okay. Man, that was tough. We got through it. So those varieties that we carry are primed and pelleted. Now, is there such thing as having a primed seed that is not pelleted?
Yes. So you can have a primed seed, you can have a pelleted seed, and you can have a primed pelleted seed.
Okay. Yeah. When would you see seeds that are not coated and just primed? This is more of the commercial end of things.
It is, and a lot of times if we know that a variety has a little more trouble germinating, if we know that it's got to go into a program and be planted and have, 99% germination, it's got to have those seedlings come up fast, super even, every last one of them, and it's a shorter time period, then you're going to prime them so that you know, like, the wheels are greased, right? Mm-hmm. It's primed mm-hmm. to be successful.
Mm-hmm. For the home gardener, what is some tips and tricks for growing these pelleted and or prime seeds?
So the number one thing I said, like I mentioned, is making sure that you're using it, you're getting it out there, and you're watching, you're watering, and you're feeding. Were those grown from prime?
Yep.
Look at that.
Red Snapper.
And that's just perfect, right?
That's perfect plant right there. And I'll show everybody the tray in a minute. We got 100% germination.
Yep.
But they are a little tricky for some people to grow. And I think the reason is, correct me if I'm wrong, is if you stress them any time during the germination process, you can have failure. Mm-hmm. They're easy for me. They're easier to me than raw seeds is. And I guess they should be.
And were these pelleted too?
These were pelleted also.
Mm-hmm. And pelleted, that's where I think you really have to watch it, right? Because it's going to be easy. You're going to have even, quick sowing. But you really got to watch the watering on pelleting. That is the number one thing. So, mm-hmm. because remember, it's the seed that's got this coating of this clay-like material around it, right? So when you water it, you have to water it a little bit more than you would a raw seed, because you need to break down that clay coating away from the seed.
May extend a day or two in the normal germination process.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. But if you water it too much, then all that clay material is gonna gum up and stick, and it all of a sudden there's no air movement around that seed and it can't get going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this fine line between not watering enough and watering too much. You gotta water it just right if it's pelleted to get that pellet broken down And then to get the air in there and get that thing going.
And your hole in the bottom of your seed starting tray needs to be open and have room for that moisture to flow out of it. So if you set that seed starting tray down on some solid so the water can't get from out of it, then you're going to stay too wet. Mm-hmm.
And getting that air circulation is the other really important mm-hmm. thing for pelleted seeds.
You know, that's a commercial trick. Most home gardeners do not use the air circulation trick that all that's the true. Commercial guys
yeah.
use.
Yep.
Fans, a simple fan. You know, I had this conversation the other day, this guy in Alabama that's growing some plants to sell as a sideline deal. And he sent me a picture of a plant that had a little bit of a disease issue, just a little bit starting. And he wanted to know what to treat it with as prevented for his next crop that was coming along. I said, treat it with nothing. Put a fan in there.
Simple as that.
Yeah, put a fan in there, get that air circulation, yeah. and that'll take care of that disease problem there. Yeah.
So watering the right amount and air circulation mm-hmm. is going to be your main thing to watch when those seeds are pelleted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
You also need to use pelleted seed within the first year. So pelleted seed is also not something you want to save for years and years.
That was my next question.
Yep, sorry.
Don't buy pelleted prime seed to keep from year to year to year. No. They just don't store well.
No. If you want, and even for that year, if you want to, well, I don't just don't store prime seed, period. Like I said, that stuff started. You mm-hmm. need to finish it. But pelleting, if you want to store it for that year, you have to make sure it's stored in a cool, dry place. If you do store the seed in the refrigerator, you better make sure it's in a very airtight container so that it doesn't get any kind of moisture in it.
So why do those seeds cost more?
Well, you're adding labor and a process and a product to it, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So they've got to be touched. They've got to be put in a fancy machine. They've got to be, it's very, very scientific. Pelleting mm-hmm. is quite a scientific field as far as the ingredients that are used, the percentages of those ingredients, how they are put on the seed. It's pretty high tech.
Yep.
So you got to pay for that.
And you can't get pelleted and prime seed from just any seed dealer out there. So we're one of the few that sells those.
Yeah.
And we're proud to sell them because we think it adds added value to the customer. It does from my standpoint mm-hmm. of growing tomatoes there. So in case y'all didn't know, Tracy with Cicada here, they are the breeder of our frontline tomato line there. Our Halcinator, our Red Snapper, Bella Rosa, Shelby, mm-hmm. all those come from Cicada.
They do.
I always raise Cicada's tomato breeding program above everybody else. And I know that I'm a little biased about that.
But
it's because of where we live.
Yeah.
I mean, this East Coast, Southern East Coast tomatoes, you got to think Cicada.
Yeah.
So tell me about y'all's tomato breeding program. Tell me a little bit about it and what do y'all breed for? And I know it's a constant evolving process.
It is, but you know, breeding itself is just an extremely long process, right? And the work we did 10, 15, 20 years ago has just really shown now in the past 5 or 6 years, it's come to fruition because the products that you see now, the ones that you mentioned, there's a few things going on. So all of our breeding is in the United States and it's on the East Coast. And we trial when we breed things where it's traditional breeding out in the field. We're out there with hundreds and hundreds of crosses and testing all kinds of traits. And then it's iteration after iteration after iteration of testing everywhere, not just in Florida, not just in Georgia, not just in New York.
So where's most of the breeding done in Florida?
Most of the breeding is done in Florida. The testing is all over the U.S., including the West Coast and the Central U.S., but there are key things that we're concentrating on, which is really what I think has made these outstanding products lately. And one of the main ones is adaptability, and that's not only through, you know, the plant itself holds up in a bunch of different areas and in a bunch of different conditions, but it's what kind of disease package it has. Diseases are changing constantly. What's the latest disease that pops up here or there or yonder, right? So we got to always be on top of making sure we're including work to go against the latest diseases. So that, the adaptability, we're constantly trying to pump up yields and size of fruit so that even in adverse conditions, you're going to get good fruit. But the other big one is flavor.
That's a huge one.
So the flavor, you know, I've been in this industry for a pretty long time, and it used to be, we talked about this at lunch, it used to be there were tomatoes out there that looked exactly the same. And they performed really, really well, but they tasted not good.
Okay, so going back to my memory, was they a shift? There was a shift during the 80s and maybe early 90s where all the emphasis was put on shipping. The emphasis was put on disease resistance, maybe, and being able to have shelf life.
And in fact, all those tomatoes back then were even bred to where they didn't even get grown to become red. They're in the ground. They pick them when they're completely green, and you should be doing nothing but frying them, and they gas them to make them red, right?
Yeah, flavor was not on the top of the priority back then.
Not on but, the list at all.
And a lot of people have got a bad taste in their mouth from that. Yeah. I mean, we talk about some of these overrides. I want a tomato to taste like they used to taste when I was coming up. Well, we went through a transition period in our country, folks, where tomato varieties were bred strictly for shipping and taste was gone.
Yeah.
At what point did we see the transition where the breeders started to bring taste?
So they started working on that, like I said, 10, 15 years ago. And now is what you're seeing those results. That's why now you're seeing this influx of all these wonderful tasting tomatoes. And flavor for us, this is the really fun part. And I'm working on this directly with our breeder. I'm going down to Florida in 2 weeks to taste 150 tomatoes in the field.
Wow.
To see what they taste like. And we taste them. We do taste panels. We score them in all different traits. But what's really fun is then we send them to the universities. And they do chemical analyses of these things so that we see exactly what compounds we're all saying we like the flavor of. And then we can breed for that. We can say we want this tomato to be higher in this trait because we know that means the flavor is going to be higher.
So these are actually genes that breeders can purchase to bring into their breeding program?
No. These are compounds within a tomato.
Okay.
Chemical compounds like that make up a tomato, and we can say, okay, we see from this chemical analysis breakdown,
lycopene or whatever.
Yeah. So there's like this much, one that starts with a gly or something. One is one that always pops up is making ones that we score taste well, and so we can go back and we can look at the mama and we can look at the daddy. We can say this tomato is high in that. Therefore, if we cross these two, chances are this one's going to be high in that compound. And it's going to be high flavor.
Where would you say flavor is on the scale of what you're breeding for?
Three?
Two. What's one?
One is adaptability.
Adaptability. You got to be able to grow it if you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
So adaptability.
Which includes disease resistance.
Number two?
Is yield. Size.
And number three is flavor. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know, those get kind of all... depends, right?
They do. And in the meantime of that, you got these little slight things that you really want to breed for.
Yeah.
So one of them that I really like about Sakata, and I talk about this a lot here in the Deep South, is forage.
You want good cover, is what
you
we call
good
it.
Cover.
Good cover. And it's a umbrella. Mm-hmm. It's a sun shield to protect the leaves, protect the tomato from the sun.
Right.
Yeah.
So important for us in the South, we get that leaf scald.
Yeah.
I mean, leaf scald, fruit scald, that's the sun just frozen.
Yep.
So to be able to protect that plant is huge for
us. And that's what, like I was talking about, we walk up and down the line of all these crosses that breeder has made, and we're tracking that. This has got good plant cover. This one doesn't. That mm-hmm. one's out. This one's in. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. And you would say that is part of the reason you're the leader on the East Coast for tomato production?
Yeah. I mean, we have got a really, really good system of what are the best traits, what are the consumers or what are the growers looking for, and what's going to make this tomato better than the others out there. And then it's that all in the breeding.
Hmm. So what's new
in
tomato production? Let's talk about tomatoes. Everybody loves tomatoes. I'm fascinated with tomatoes. Let me get this tray right here. Show everybody.
That's pretty.
Oh, look at there.
That's perfect.
Full
right?
tray of red snappers there.
This also shows what primed and pelleted seed can do, right?
The commercial growers love it because it's consistent and it's even and it's easy.
Yep. Perfect little plants. And look how strong. I mean, these are not leggy. If you were here touching this.
Go ahead and pull that one. I'm going to pull me one. I'm going to lay it right here.
So first of all, I just yanked this thing out by its stem, mm-hmm. which you're not supposed to do, but it survived.
It's okay.
But I'm saying that's how strong this is, right?
Yep. That plant right there.
That's a strong amount.
It's less than 4 weeks old.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And this is Red Snapper, folks, in case you missed me telling you what variety it is right there.
And this is one of your new favorites.
It is.
Tell me why you like it.
I like it because of the cover. Mm-hmm. The cover of
the plant cover.
The vigor. It has good vigor to it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good eating tomato for us. It's very similar to our Halsinator, but I like it. I really like Red Snapper. So, do you have TikTok?
I do not.
You do not have TikTok.
I'm one of those people.
the latest crave going around on TikTok in YouTube Shorts is something I want to address. Okay. You know, they always have these little tips and tricks about growing
tomatoes. I hear there's lots of recipes and stuff.
So these, I've seen this probably a dozen times in the last 24 hours. Everybody talks about it. You got to do this to your tomatoes. You pinch the top out of it, and you take off the leaves so that you have 2 liters. And then you grow these 2 liters up, and I'm thinking to myself, no, no, no. What they're failing to tell is that's fine if you're doing hoop house production on an
indeterminate. And you're training them.
And you're training them.
Yeah.
But they don't say that. And this is some of the false information you folks are getting out there on some of these things. Doing this right here to a determinate tomato is a no-no. Now, if you're growing an indeterminate only in a hoop house where you're training it, the 1 to 2 liter thing.
And we mean by training it, like you've got string and you're constantly tying and tying and tying up tall. Yeah.
If you're doing that, this 1 to 2 liter thing works fine. Yeah. But I hope a lot of people...
Why would you give yourself that much more work? Right?
I don't know. And I don't know why people would, from the homeowner standpoint, be doing that. But there's a lot of people out there promoting this is the way you grow tomatoes now.
Well, think about this. This is another reason with this, what you're talking about, genetics and new breeding and new tomatoes, right? This is also bred to have a certain plant habit.
Mm-hmm.
It has been made to have the type of plant habit that you don't have to do anything to.
Right.
So we don't want you to do these extra things and have extra work.
I know there's a lot of different opinions out there on suckering. But I can sucker up to the third or fourth node, or I could not sucker at all in my garden, and I can't tell much of a difference. Maybe just a little bit difference in size, but I'll be honest with you. On these varieties here, I can tell a little difference.
Yeah, it might on older varieties, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I also will not sucker. And I'll just tell you, my reason is laziness. I don't want to do it. Because I don't have to. Because the plant's been made where you don't have to.
I'm actually doing a little trial out there now with red snappers that I'm suckering aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got some more here that I'm not to see what difference it does make. So be interested.
My guess is that it's not going to make much difference.
I don't think it will either.
No.
If anything, sucking is going to take away some of that foliage that we need to protect them from that sunlight out there. So what is coming new? What can we anticipate to be coming new? You got to share your secrets. What's coming new with tomatoes?
Well, like I said, I'm going down to Florida to our breeding station in a couple of weeks. We're going to be going through the newest and latest crosses. And what we're looking at are some indeterminates. There are pluses and minuses for determinate versus indeterminate. But we're going to be... we did the Ruby series last year, which is our first indeterminate slicer tomatoes. But we're looking at the next iteration of indeterminate slicer tomatoes that have that really old-fashioned big beefsteak kind of tomato.
Right.
But the indeterminate plant, again, we're trying to make the plants manageable so that you're looking at it and it's like, okay, well, it's a 5-foot plant, but it's not an 8-foot plant, right? So, and then going really big on the flavor. So that's what I hope to find.
So normally speaking, I think you're the one that shared with me a few years ago. Normally speaking, most people will agree that indeterminates have better flavor profile than determinates.
In general, yes.
In general, yeah.
Yep.
I thought that was always interesting.
Yep.
So indeterminates is the new thing there from Cicada. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and putting that out there.
I'm putting it out there.
That's the new thing coming. What do you see coming in the next few years? Now, I'm looking to your crystal ball. What do you see? Now, we talked about this earlier before the show. The minis are really popular.
They are. Are you talking about the peppers?
No, the
tomatoes.
Little birdie series.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So the minis have been really interesting for us because, you know, those aren't a new product. They've been around forever.
Right.
But with the advent of...
Well, they are open pollinated. One
they
of them
are.
Is, all and, three of them are?
Yeah.
Okay, OPs.
And they've been around forever. And people would grow them here and there. But what's happened is with the advent of people growing things indoors or having less space or just wanting something on their patio or in their kitchen windowsill, these things have taken off like crazy.
And folks, if you don't know what we're talking about our little birdie series, which have 3 different varieties here. We got Rosy Finch, which is a rose-colored little small tomato. We got Yellow Canary. And we've got
Red Robin.
Red Robin. Red Robin's the bright red one there. We've got a yellow, a pink, rose colored one there. I said yellow, pink, and a red. Mm-hmm. And these things are, they get, what, this big? They are
not
small.
Bare. I mean, they are small. They
Do you classify them as a dwarf or just?
It is a dwarf, like ultra determinate mm-hmm. tomato. Because, I mean, it literally will not get any taller than this.
Do wonderful in pots and containers. Oh, yeah. We grow them every year down at the house.
I like them in a hanging basket, too. Yep. I put one of each color in a hanging basket and boom, you're done.
Perfect. Yeah. Yep. So those, you think there's going to be more work with those, maybe?
So, you know, the demand on those has just gotten so big. We are looking into, you know, is it worth looking at different things? What's interesting is we have looked at a couple that should be coming out here very soon that are a really, really small plant like that, but starting to get bigger fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a like full a slicer, but tomato? Like a salad tomato. Yeah. So that could be pretty interesting too.
Yep.
Because again, you're going to get a big tomato and not a lot of.
And it gives people the opportunity to grow these things that have limited resources, yep. whether it be space or time or yep. whatever. Mm-hmm. And even some of these smaller tomatoes, that one there fell apart on me, such as the Little Birder series.
Mm-hmm.
What is the light requirement compared to a regular tomato? Is it the same?
Or it's
is it
the same.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I seen where somebody was advertising, and I never really thought about this. They were advertising that it takes less light to grow some of these miniatures than it does to others. I've never heard that before. I actually seen it in a brochure yesterday.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically if you're going to measure the light, yeah. but I mean.
Yeah, I didn't. I couldn't buy into that. It was a competitor. It was
interesting.
Advertising. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So we've covered tomatoes. Let's talk about peppers just for a minute. Okay. So we do see some prime pepper seed?
I mean, we've seen some primed pepper seed. Golly.
Pelleted as well?
Yeah, primed.
Just primed, okay.
But again, that's really for, you know, farmers, growers that need a tray that looks like that of peppers.
Right.
So it's all going to be really nice and pretty and going.
Yep.
So.
All right. Hopefully we answered some of your questions about seeds today.
Yeah.
Pelleted and primed. It's a tongue twister there. And red snapper, that's beautiful, ain't
it's
it?
It's gorgeous.
I love growing plants. Man. That right there is going to be a nice tomato sandwich one of these days. All right, so let's move on. We got a garden spotlight this week right here, and I may let you hold some of these up. So, Karen Sterb, can you pronounce that? Streb?
Karen Strebeck?
Strebeck. Oh, you could come through. She sent this in. Karen Gardens in Mississippi. Natchez, Mississippi. 8B. Look at her green beans there.
Which green bean is that?
I'm going to say that's too curly. It's kind of a curly green bean.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yep. Green beans. We love green beans. I just got mine planted. They're just now coming up. And she sent us a picture of her peppers, her cucumbers, and her tomatoes there.
Wow.
Yep. She got a bunch going on there. It's a lot of putting up and a lot of eating to be done there. And I don't know how well we'll see it, but this is her corn. And another picture of her garden. She's got some trellising going on there. Thank you, Karen, for sending that in.
Nice.
From Natchez, Mississippi. All right. So, as custom be, it's corny joke time.
Oh, no, you know I'm bad at these.
Yep. So, I had three here, and I'm just going to use one. I went through these, and this was perfect. What did Arnold Schwarzenegger say to his tomato seeds after watering them for the first time?
No.
You have been germinated.
Yeah, that is perfect.
Yeah. You have been germinated. Yeah. All right, so we got the old goat to give away. So somewhere on the set here.
I will not point it out.
You will not point it out.
I've been known to do that.
Old goat figurine on the set there. And if you find the old goat looking at you, put it in the comments below there. And we'll do a drawing every week. And we'll send you a great little prize. I'm going to let you do the honors right there. Pull it out there. Whoop.
Right. Should I read the name?
Yeah, kind of turn around for the camera there. We can see it. What's the name say?
Deborah Hudson.
Deborah Hudson. Deborah, found the old goat.
Yep.
Send us your shipping address to customserve@hallstools.com and we'll send you a coveted gift. Man, I got all sorts of things going on here. And we got something new this week. So a company that we deal with a lot called Monterey. Are you familiar with Monterey?
I am not.
They're out of the great state of California.
I would think that would be the case.
And Monterey has offered to do a giveaway every week on our show here. And we're gonna go over this real quick. And I'll show you how you can put your name in the pot. So they're giving away some yellow sticky traps. And you know what? We're just starting to carry these right here. I don't know why we hadn't carried them before.
These, I use these all the time.
All the time.
Inside too.
Mm-hmm. It's got a rose on there, which is a little misleading. So yeah. It's used for everything. Now, do you use these things twofold? Use it for monitoring what you may have a problem with. So if you start catching a lot of aphids, you know you got an aphid problem. Or you start catching a lot of beetles. But you can also use it as a control.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So anyhow, yellow sticky traps right here. And then Monterey horticulture oil there. And this is one of those horticulture oils you can spray in any temperature.
Oh,
so you don't have to worry about burn there. And complete disease control, we got a bottle of that right there. Do you remember Serenade?
Yeah.
That is a cousin of Serenade.
Oh.
Yep, biological fungicide right there. And then we got fish.
I want to say it. Fish and guano.
Guano. Guano, yes. Which is a fertilizer, which is a natural fertilizer there, 962. So Monterey is gracious enough that we're going to give away this every week at the end of our Robo Row show, and I'll tell you how you can put your name in the pot. In the comments below, just simply put the name of the city and the state you live in, and we're going to automate generate that. They have this thing, we can generate a winner right there. Just put the name of the city and the state you live in, and we're going to put you in a drawing for this package right here every week, and next week we'll announce the winner, and we'll do the drawing again. Week after week.
Waynesville, North Carolina.
You're in the drawing. All right, folks. Thank you there. And thank you for Monterey for sponsoring our little giveaway there at the end. Tracy, it was dadgum. It was a blast again.
Yes.
And
it won't be so long this time.
I know. And you got to keep us updated on these trials down there. That's going to be very interesting. Because we may have a little something working on that right there.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yep. All right. Thank y'all for joining us. Now it's time for you to get outside and get dirty. Thank you.